This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you here on Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio. And boy, all right, I'm going to be honest with you. This is going to be tough. I had a hard time last night watching that Steelers game. I know my team. This is my team for my whole life, and I know when they're good, and I know when they're not good, and I've been telling you all year long, even when they were rolling along, even when they were playing at 11-0, and they were winning these games by some of them in slim margins, and even some of them where they just would find a way to get back into a game in which they trailed and then ended up winning, you know, winning and winning comfortably, that there was something wrong with this team. It didn't feel like an 11-0. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Teams that have gone undefeated through a good portion of the season have clunkers. Some of them have to escape from victory. Some of them aren't, you know, not all of them are 15-point, 20-point victories. But the Steelers played this season in a way that made you go, I don't know if this is going to sustain itself. I don't know how often you can play these kind of games and still emerge on top. So when you looked at the rest of the schedule after they went 3-0, it looked like the trouble was going to come in Buffalo. The trouble was going to come against maybe Cleveland at the end of the year or Indianapolis in the second to last game of the year. It shouldn't have come against Washington, and it certainly, absolutely should not have come at the hands of the Cincinnati Bengals, who can't play defense, had a third-string quarterback, and was just basically closing out the season. The Steelers didn't lose this game because they were lazy. The Steelers didn't lose this game because they overlooked a team that had a lot more to play for in terms of pride than a team that was already going to the playoffs. The Steelers were in serious trouble last night. Serious trouble. They had lost two straight and looked terrible in doing so. And not only did they look bad, they really needed to get something on track. So you could see the Steelers going, hey, this is the game we've got to win. This is a game we've got to show up. This is a game we've got to find working pieces to get down to the stretch. They found none of it last night. None of it. There is something seriously wrong in Pittsburgh. We'll dissect the game coming up. We'll also look ahead to what's going on in the NFL in week 16 as we've got 2 weeks left. We've also got the top five, bottom five coming up this hour, and the NBA season starts tonight. It's all coming up.
You're listening to Wake Up Call. SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, today every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. All right, as we continue along this morning, glad you could be with us. Ah, what a mess last night. I don't know what to make of this team. 27-17, Cincinnati played its little heart out. Let's God bless the little Bengals of the Queen City.
Was that an any given Sunday moment on a Monday?
Right? You know what that was? That was a vulnerable football team, and the other side smelled blood. Look, the Bengals aren't a young team. They pointed this out in the broadcast, which I thought was important. They're not a young team. They got a lot of veterans on that team, but, you know, they got a young quarterback. They got Joe Burrow, and then it doesn't lend itself when he's out because you got a bunch of backups. But that's basically where they're sitting. But the Steelers, you know, I thought that this would be a game. I know I was talking to you earlier about this. I thought this would be a game they would win, and they would win like, 27-10, right? And then you would say, well, they still have problems, and I don't know if they're going to be Buffalo good or Kansas City good or heck, even Tennessee or Indianapolis good. But, you know, they got right back on track. They won a game. They still got some issues. I don't know how confident they're going to be going into the postseason. We'll see them play the Colts and the Browns, but they got the victory. Now, they weren't even in this thing. And they were a mess. They were a mess from the get-go. They were 3-and-out, throwing interceptions, fumbling the football. It was a disaster, an absolute disaster. And the Bengals just took advantage of some short fields and took advantage of a tired defense and some trickery. Ryan Finley running at 23 yards in the second half for a touchdown. And that was it. That's all she wrote. And right now, Mike Tomlin's got a team that, again, started 11-0, and people were kind of going, look, this is, you know, look where, you know, the Steelers, one of the Super Bowl favorites out of the AFC. And now he's got a team that may not win the division. I mean, Cleveland is right there ready to take this thing from Pittsburgh's hands if they want to do this. And I waited the whole second half for like, okay, let's put this game away. Never came.
It was weird. It felt like you were standing on the edge of a cliff.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, all right, you know, you're a Steeler fan. You're ready to jump and go all in on this. And it was just, I don't know. You just got shy. You just, you know, maybe you sat down on the cliff and like, well, I don't know. Let me think about this some more. It felt like they can never get it going. Like,
never.
Like, I don't know. I mean, first and 10, you know, oh, you get 8 yards and then all of a sudden you're going backwards again. And I don't know. It just, Roethlisberger overthrowing players. It was just a mess.
They were a collective mess. They were terrible on third down, right? They again committed 3 turnovers. And now they've got a problem. And as I said this earlier, there's small picture and then there's big picture, right? The small picture is this season is about ready to be over. They're going to close out the season. And then who in the AFC are they going to beat? Like, of all the teams that are in the postseason right now, who are the Steelers at this state going to beat? Tennessee? Not a chance. Indianapolis? Nope. Cleveland? Nope. Baltimore? Nope. Buffalo? Nope. Miami? Nope. No, there's no AFC team that you would say, I'll take Pittsburgh going away. As bad as the Steelers are, they're not that bad. They'll beat that team. No, the AFC's got a lot of young, good football teams coming up. Now, as I said earlier, the Bengals are not a young team. They've got veterans on it. The Steelers are not an old team. The only thing that's really old is their quarterback, and that's very, very important. They got a lot of young players on that team, but they have Father Time is creeping in because Roethlisberger can't throw. You know, I don't know if something's bothering him. I don't know if it's just age. I don't know what. Maybe he throws too much and you don't recover as quickly. So you get to week 16, you get to week 17, and your arm's a noodle at 38 years old when you were 25. You could sling it 50 times a game for 17 games. This is what you're seeing from the Steelers, which is not going to happen for the other three teams in the division for a while. Right, the Steelers don't have another alternative to go to. Brock Osweiler took over the Broncos when you noticed Father Time creeping in to Peyton Manning. Injury, you know, throwing ducks down the field. Osweiler righted the ship enough for the Broncos to stay in contention so that when Manning took over the position again, their defense was so good, he didn't have to do everything.
Yeah, that's the key right there, too, is that they had an all-world defense going, you know, keeping it close. So Osweiler didn't have to go in and like, well, we got to get 30 points to win this game.
Right.
No, you can win with 10. And that defense was incredible.
That playoff run for those Super Bowl champion Broncos, all Manning did really was just prevent turnovers.
Yeah.
He wasn't electrifying. He definitely wasn't 2013 Peyton Manning. He was just a guy that was veteran enough, savvy enough, smart enough to make sure he protected the football and just did enough to move the team down the field. Right? Even in the Super Bowl win, he wasn't outstanding. His first turnovers came in the Super Bowl of the postseason run. The Steelers don't have their defense is good, but they don't have a defense that is able to sustain what the Steelers have to do offensively. The defense is on the field all the time because the Steelers go 3 and out all the time and they throw the ball all the time and they don't complete passes all the time. So the Steelers can't sustain a running game. They can't get a drive going. They can't keep off time of possession. So the defense is eventually going to, I don't care who you are as a defensive unit. If you're on the field too much, you are going to get worn out. The thing about covering receivers and being in cover is that the receiver knows where he's going. You don't know where you're going, and if you're just a tick more tired than the next guy, than the receiver you're covering, he will beat you 100% of the time. Because if you've got two exhausted players, a wide receiver and a defensive back, Just the fact that the receiver knows where he's going and you don't, he'll beat you to the step. So that's where the Steelers' defense breaks down. Because, again, the offense cannot sustain drives enough to just keep them off the field. Peyton Manning could at least do that for the Broncos back in when Father Time was kicking him in the butt. But right now, Roethlisberger can't do anything offensive. They can't run. They can't throw deep. The short passes are getting beaten up. That hit on Juju Smith-Schuster, I am glad. I'll tell you right now, Lewis Reddick is fantastic in the booth. Him and Brian Greasy broke that play down where Juju Smith-Schuster came on a crossing route, Ben hit him, had the ball for a split second, had the possession of it, got blown up, and it was a fumble. They had to go to the review. That play, that Bengal player knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly what to do on that play. That's all the Steelers can do. Those short mid-route crossing patterns off of picks, and the Bengals knew exactly how to play that. So guess what? Tennessee, Baltimore, I mean, Miami, Kansas, they're all going to know how to play. This is all the Steelers have.
All right, quick question, though. At this point, should Juju stop dancing on the logo?
I think that would, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I would say, look, enough. Enough of the TikTok nonsense.
Because once that came to light, I mean, I think he's been doing it all season.
Yeah, but stop it.
But for the last 3 weeks, we've kind of known about it. And since we started knowing about it, Steelers have been on a losing streak.
Yeah.
Not saying the two have anything to do with each other, just coincidence.
I'll say this. I'm a Tomlin supporter. I have no problems with him as a head coach. I don't think he does. He always puts the Steelers in contention, right? Even when they lose Roethlisberger, remember I said this last year? Hey, I just want to get to the playoffs. I don't care if I lose in the first round. A team without Roethlisberger finding a way to get into the postseason would be magnificent. They didn't. They came up short. But Tomlin keeps that machine going, right? He doesn't lose the team, right? But he has got to stop with the every press conference is we got to get better. Then be better. Stop with the telling us what you're doing and figure out a way to just do it. Pads on Friday didn't work against Buffalo. The physicality that you wanted to bring to the game didn't have it. Whatever you worked on in terms of being physical against the Bengals, you were not physical. They were more physical. The offensive line was abysmal in getting short yardage. They can't convert on third downs. They can't get short yardage. They call terrible plays. When they're down 7 with the ball late in that game, you're having Roethlisberger throw deep downfield who can't complete a pass. That's your play call? Randy Fitchner, that's your play call? Just move the chains. That's all you need to do. I don't care if the pass is 11 yards. Move the chains. Get downfield. He's chucking it 30 yards downfield. And what, praying for pass interference, which there was on that particular play, but it's not always going to get called. You're not completing that pass. What are you, insane? So what does it do? It sets up a desperate fourth down with the game on the line. Now you've got the game on the line on fourth down. And what does Roethlisberger do? He overthrows a receiver by a mile. It's like a foot over his head. It's, again, you're starting to see the AFC, and it's looking great. Think about the teams that are going to the playoffs this year, right? Take the Patriots out of because they're not going, right? So all the past 20 years, we always talked about these young, exciting teams with the caveat of, well, New England, you know, the same old New England that you've been growing up watching. But think about it now. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Phillip Rivers and the Colts will play good defense, and offense is now starting to click. Tua in Miami could make the postseason. Baker Mayfield and the Browns are going to make the postseason. Right? You've got the Bills and Josh Allen, probably the funnest team in the AFC to watch and probably the most threatening to Kansas City's reign. You know who's not fun? Pittsburgh. You know who's kind of tired and old? Pittsburgh. You know, it's kind of dull and non-exciting, Pittsburgh. And out of the 7 teams that are going to be in the AFC, this team is going to be one of the 7. And they're going to be quick work to these budding, growing NFL franchises in the AFC that are finding postseason favor. I mean, if you're Buffalo, how happy are you? If you're Kansas City, you're so excited that you've got a quarterback for the future that's on a next level superstardom. Excited in Miami for what Tua might bring for years to come. Cleveland is finally winning. I mean, Baker and now Kevin Stefanik are coming together. All of these, Baltimore even, right? COVID-19 hit the team. They're starting to play good football. If you're a Steelers fan, and I am, you're looking at the last days of one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history, but the last days indeed. There's no comeback from this. Name me a 39-year-old quarterback who has ever just went, yeah, I know I'm showing father time, but I actually held him off. Once father time hits, that's it. You're done. He's finished. And now the Steelers have to figure out a way to get a new quarterback and move on in a division that's getting tougher and tougher. Louis Riddick said, hey, look, they're building something in Cincinnati, and with Joe Burrow healthy, you never know where that team's going to go. They may not have the right coach. I don't know if I believe in Zach Taylor. They may not have the right coach. But if Joe Burrow has success and can play in this league like we think we can, like we saw that he can, they're building something in Cincinnati. And Cleveland and Baltimore are already building something, already done. They're already moving forward. Tough loss, I say. Really opened up a lot of people's eyes. All right, coming up, we're going to go through some 2020 stuff in terms of the, not necessarily a year in review, but there's a 30 for 30 coming out called March 11th, 2020, about the day sports shut down. How much do we want to relive that? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking, don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows when it's time to replace your wiper blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, see their selection. Professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help install those wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day. All right, so again, the Steelers lose to Monday Night Football. Bengals go to 3-10-1. Steelers 11-3. Cleveland right on their heels. So 30 for 30 has got a new one coming out to talk about March 11th, 2020. And that was the day sport shut down, if
the
you remember that.
The day music died?
Yeah, the day the music died. Yeah, that
where's
was the...
Where's Don McLean with the song for sports?
Yeah, where's all the cool metaphors that he could write this really long song with all of these like hidden meanings to everything. The Oklahoma City Utah Jazz game that kind of set everything off. Remember
Rudy
that
Gobert.
One? Rudy Gobert. And remember after that, the dominoes hit. And a lot of us remember it because it was like, okay, they canceled the game from COVID, but we didn't really know at the time. It seems like weird that we didn't know what it would do. Because now we shut down everything. And
well, remember, none of them were canceled. They were just suspended for a week.
Yeah, that's right. We were like, well, we're just going to pause this and see like what's happening. And none of us really had a handle because it was kind of new and we never really went through a pandemic like this before. So we were all playing it by ear. You know, what does it mean? I remember the SEC basketball tournament was here in Nashville. People wondering, is that going to go on? Yeah, it'll go on. And nope. You know, and then all of a sudden, everything started getting shut down. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And then finally, the NCAA tournament got shut down. I like the 30 for 30s from a sort of packaged up of something historic, right?
Right.
I think their 30 for the 30s are so good in saying, here's an event that happened in sports. Some of it is on the field, and some of it's got huge ramifications off the field. But the documentary, like all documentaries, sort of puts it in a package. And then you say, here's people who were there and what they experienced and sort of puts it all together. And it's good for memory, right? It's good to say, I remember that, but I don't necessarily remember the details. You might learn something. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. The Two Escobars documentary from about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I always knew that the guy kicked the ball in his own goal. Andres Escobar kicked the ball for Colombia in his own goal.
I was at that
but
game.
But I, you were at that game. I didn't know at the time. I didn't know all of the things that were going on with the team.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know the real backstory of what was going on, who was supporting it, the death threats that were coming into that team. That's why documentaries are good, because you go, oh, I remember that. Here's the larger story to it.
Right.
Is March 11th, 2020 in 2020 appealing?
See, I feel like they're just trying to capitalize. I mean, it's almost like they had an idea of, like, let's do a year in review like we always do. But, you know, with sports having been shut down for a couple of months, let's just focus on one day.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
Okay, no, we don't want that yet. I mean, give us that 30 for 30, I think 10 years from now.
Yeah, like when we really had a chance to sort of put everything in perspective, saying, okay, you know, 2020 started off really scary from a sports standpoint. Yeah, we didn't know if these were coming back or not, and yet sports found a way to do it.
Because the problem is, we could have another sports shutdown.
Sure we could. Absolutely.
Why not, right?
Right.
I mean, cases are rising. Cases are higher now than they were back in March 11th. I mean, we have a better idea of it now and better idea of what to do around it. But there's still the possibility of, you know, there's a wide outbreak happening in the NFL. Shut it down.
A college football playoff committee said they'll cancel games.
Yeah.
If you know what? That's it. Like, if Notre Dame gets infected with COVID, that's it. They don't know what to do. That's all she wrote.
It feels like it's too late. Let us heal first.
Yeah. My first reaction was exactly that. I was like, wait, you're giving us a documentary on something that happened this year. We're not really done yet.
Right.
Like, the story isn't complete. I would honestly wait. I would have done this when everything is back to normal. When the stadiums are full, the schedules are, we're doing spring training in March. We're not starting the NBA season in December. We're not starting the NHL season in January. We're not possibly moving the Super Bowl and all this other stuff you hear.
Possibly not starting baseball until Memorial Day. That's the latest rumor now.
Right. Exactly. Like you said, years down the road, when everything kind of has to go through the filter and then come back to normal, then say, the book is written. This is when it started. This is how long it took. This is the problems that we had at various points along the way. Now, maybe the documentary is, we don't give you any of that. We're just giving you the day of. The day it happened. We're not making it larger than what it is. These are the things. These are the boots on the ground on that particular day and what it meant on that particular day, and that's it.
And I think that's part of the problem, too. Because it wasn't that just that particular day. It was the day and then like the 3 to 4 days that followed.
Yep.
Maybe are they going to give us that? Because remember, it wasn't – there were games going on. Who was it? Was it the SEC tournament was being
played? The SEC basketball tournament was being played.
They had a Big East game.
Big East game was at halftime of a game, and then they were starting to talk about stopping it.
Yeah.
Like that in Madison Square Garden, they were playing, and they said, wait, maybe we should cut this out. Right. And that I remember because Jake Asman and I were going to do the selection show for the network, and I was going to fly in, meet you and everybody, the company. And I was like, I don't think I'm going. I told my wife, I said, I don't think I'm going to go. I think they're going to cancel the NCAA tournament. And this was kind of early because you and I had kind of speculated on it on the show. And then I talked to her. She goes, really? I don't think they're going to do that, are they? I go, I know. It seemed ridiculous, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be silly.
Yeah.
And they did, right? Because you get here is what 2020, I think, has taught us in sports. We think these entities, because there's billions behind it, are too big to go anywhere, right? They're just not going to stop. They'll figure out there's too much money at stake. There's too many jobs on the line. There was too much that you would lose if you just said cancel it. But they canceled it anyway. They stopped it anyway. Adam Silver finally, is coming out and saying, look, we lost tons of money with this bubble thing and cutting off the season. That's why we have 71 days between the time we crowned the Lakers champions to when we made the Lakers play again to start the 2020-21 season. Right? This is a business. And we're trying to salvage our business. And that I can understand when we're trying to I just think it's way too soon to revisit something that shut down sports, but yet we're still in a shutdown sort of environment. Yes, we're playing NFL games, and it does look good that we'll get the full season in. College football's still up in the air. College football's not quite done yet. I mean, when it's done on January 11th, we can say we did it. You know, everybody got it together, got this done. But we don't know. We don't know if Clemson's going to get another bout of COVID or Alabama's going to get a bout of COVID and we're going to be canceling games or moving games or trying to figure out when to play these games or just call everybody co-champions. We don't know yet. It's still up in the air. And the NFL, same thing. We got the Super Bowl scheduled. That's movable. We got playoff games that are not going to be in a bubble environment. We don't know. So we'll see. But I just saw that ad and I went, I don't know. I think it's too early. It's really too early. All right. Coming up. College football, the coaches vote. Dabo has a lot of respect for Ohio State, I guess. That next. Oh, the good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, right. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday. Hey, my final one for the week is I'm off for the rest of the week for the holidays. So let's make it good with the good of the day on a Tuesday.
This has something to do with your neck of the woods.
All right.
Because this story was my bad of the day.
Okay.
Until last night when I saw that the NCAA, and I guess you could say ESPN largely too, corrected a wrong. And that was snubbing 9-2 Army football out of the bowl season.
Yeah, I saw that. And I didn't understand why that happened.
And it largely, the reasoning why behind it all, because you'll see a lot of bowl teams this year that should not be in a bowl.
Yes.
Because their record just, 3-7, that shouldn't be a bowl team.
How about 2-8?
2-8.
Like the school I went to.
Yeah.
Going to the Gasparilla Bowl.
So, and that has a lot to do with the fact that SEC has a lot of ties with money with the ESPN Bowl.
Yeah.
Extravaganza, whatever you want to call
right.
it.
That's right.
So, but like I said, it ended up being the good because Army finally got the invite to face 5-4 West Virginia, but only because Tennessee had to opt out.
Tennessee had to opt out. Jeremy Pruitt got COVID. So did a bunch of players. They got COVID. So they're done.
Yeah, their season is over.
And here's the thing. Normally a bowl championship game would be like on December 2nd. December 4th, right?
Right.
And then the bowl season would be like, here's a bunch of bowl games, and you got a month, to get ready for this. Month of bowl games. Some teams are done like late November. They don't play in the conference championship, so they got a month to really get ready for even like the games that are on the 24th. This is like next week.
Yeah.
So like these teams are like, all right, well, we got to turn around quick. So when Tennessee was like, we'll accept that bowl invite, they didn't get the test results back, and then they got the test result back and went, nah, never mind. Sorry about that.
We're done.
We're done. Actually, a whole bunch of us got COVID, so we can't play.
Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, this is why I was in the bad of the day. I was prepared to make it my bad of the day. I just don't understand how you have a 9-2 team not get an invite.
I'm surprised no one could bring them into the bowl system.
Now, I understand, Army doesn't play the same clientele that, say, Tennessee does, but still, they went 9-2.
And you are hoping, you're hoping that if there are a few tickets that can be sold, however it is, that they'll be gobbled up and whatnot. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like if you go 9-2, there should be a place for you the second your season is over.
You would think, right?
Right? Exactly. And there would be if a lot of these bowl games have been canceled. Like, they're just not having these bowl games. And you're right. The SEC is such a tie financially to these bowl/network that you are getting some lousy SEC teams in the bowl games. Like Mississippi State is in the Armed Forces Bowl and Army is not in the Armed Forces Bowl. Arkansas is terrible at 3-7. They're bowling, right? I mean, it's just, Kentucky is a losing record. Ole Miss is a losing record. They're all going to bowl games and Army at 9-2 is not. And now they are. Good for them. That's good. I was hoping they would. If anybody deserves at least one bowl, think about the people at Army that are playing and then afterwards are going to serve our country. This is it for them, right? They're going to, for the seniors that are going on to an Army career or serving out their time, their commitment of going to West Point, these are important games, these last few games of their collegiate career. So give them a bowl game. I'm glad they got it.
Not only that, but I almost feel like, Army, Air Force, Navy – if you have a positive record, you should just get automatically into a bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should just have a free pass into a bowl game because of who you are, what those players represent for this country, and what the sacrifice that they make for this country.
Yeah, you got to get like congressional approval to go to these schools.
Yep.
Like you are some of the leaders of America, and they're saying like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not as good as Mississippi State. At 3-7, right? That's terrible.
Yeah,
but I'm glad this righted itself
righted itself, and it didn't end up in the bad. It got back to the good.
not that I want Tennessee's athletes to get COVID this happen.
No, but that's the problem. It shouldn't have came to that.
It shouldn't have come to that.
It should have been, hey, Army, we can find you guys a reasonable opponent if we can find, 3-7 Mississippi State to a bowl game somehow.
Exactly. All right, what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
It came out yesterday that a lot of Cowboy teammates and Mike McCarthy were upset with CeeDee Lamb returning a touchdown that pretty much that kickoff return touchdown that pretty much sealed the game.
All right, was that because of some sort of circumstance that could have allowed San Francisco to do something?
What they're all up in arms about was, he's a rookie. What he needs to do is remember that, maybe not, if he's going to get that ball, to just lay on the ground.
Right, because
bad things could have happened. But it's after the fact that they're getting mad at him. It's like, hey, guys, he scored. Let's be happy for what he did.
Why couldn't this be just a, hey, kid, come here. That was awesome. However, in the future, we would prefer if you did it this way, because that makes more sense for us, that you do, your first obligation is securing that football and making sure the other team doesn't get it. Now, if you were to pick it up and run it like you did, and how great was that? You scored a touchdown. How awesome.
Yep.
But what if somebody had come and stripped that from you? And what if you had fumbled it in your attempt to get it to run it back, and you didn't quite have it secured and landed in the other team's hands? Think about some of those. Why does it have to be, we're kind of upset, we're kind of angry? Like, don't just pat the kid on the back, tell him what a great job he did, but in the future we would prefer this.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy went as far as saying, that's, we understand why he did it, and if that hole opened up, of course you're going to take it. But when we watch the film back, we will point out to him that, this is what you probably should have done, type of thing. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, just let him have his fun.
Yeah, he's a rookie. He just scored a touchdown on an onside kick, that kick return. I mean, it wasn't like he took it to the house 100 yards.
Yeah.
Like 50 yards, maybe.
This
40
season
yards.
For Dallas has been complete dog poo. I mean, let the kid enjoy like one moment this season where it's like, okay, we won. We had a good time doing it. We looked all right doing it. I scored a touchdown doing it. Like, for once, can I just feel decent about the 2020 football season?
The fourth win of the year, fifth win of the year, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right?
Guys aren't going anywhere. There was somebody wrote this out. It was how the Cowboys can make it to the playoffs still. They need like 500 things to happen.
So it's not just a matter of just topping Washington?
No. It's a matter of topping Washington, because the only way any NFC East team is going to make it in is winning their division.
So you're hoping that Washington loses two, and then you win two, and then the Giants lose one.
Right.
Then they can get in.
And then, the Eagles have to lose two. I don't know. I think the Eagles have to lose one as well.
Yeah, because the Eagles are still kicking around here.
Yeah, the Cowboys have to beat the Eagles, and I think the Cowboys have to beat the Washington football team.
Yeah, think about this. I mean,
Dallas
is 5-9. If they win their next two games, they'll finish 7-9. Well, Philadelphia would finish 6-9-1, so they would actually be behind them.
No, but there was, I think maybe they have to tie. I don't know. There was a weird way that the Cowboys they're still not out of the playoffs.
No, not at all. But still, let them enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. What's the
fun?
What's the dumb of the day?
Who? McDonald's.
What did McDonald's do now?
McDonald's is trying out a new sandwich.
Oh no.
It's being tested in China, thankfully.
Thankfully.
But this burger is a spam Oreo and white sauce burger.
Oh, wait. Spam and Oreo cookies?
Oreo cookies. Crunched up Oreo cookies. Like, the cookie crumb that
what
you would put.
Mad scientist created this thing?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry.
How do you
get to that point?
Now, here's the deal. I might be leaning on my international naivete. I don't know if spam and Oreo cookie mixture is something that is popular in China enough for McDonald's to capitalize on that with a sandwich.
Yeah, listen, we know that. I know this for a fact that McDonald's around the globe has different foods. You can go to McDonald's in Hawaii. A McDonald's in Hawaii, they'll have like spam and rice, as part of their their breakfast meals. Spam and eggs. You know, you can't really get you can't go to your local McDonald's here and just say, "Hey, can I get spam and eggs?" No, they won't have that. But you can get that in Hawaii because spam's a huge staple.
Spam's
in Hawaii.
Huge. Yeah.
They also have you know how you get the hot apple pie.
Well, yeah.
In Hawaii, you can get the taro pie.
What's taro?
Taro is kind of it's kind of like a dessert item, but it's literally a purple potato.
Oh, I got you. Okay, is it served like? Like napalm, like the hot apple pie is when you get it from McDonald's,
yeah,
or it's like, oh my God, I can't even eat this.
But just so you know what taro is, it's also the root source, no pun intended because it's a potato, but it's the root source for poi.
Oh, I got you.
Which
okay.
a lot of people can't stand, namely me, because it just tastes like bland paste.
Goodness.
But if you grow up on it, it's like, I guess it's like Vegemite. You grow up on it, you like it.
I don't know much about spam, but when I was a very young NASCAR reporter, I covered a Winston Cup race in New Hampshire, and one of the drivers was Lake Speed, and he drove the spam car.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times when you go to these races, like, they'll have the product available, like, whatever major sponsor, the car, sometimes they'll have product, and they'll go, hey, here, take some free Slim Jims, or take some free Ocean Spray, or take some free... whatever, Tic Tacs or whatever, they'll just have them lying around. So I grabbed a Lake Speed spam can, basically a can of spam, and it had Lake Speed on it. It was kind of one of those collector tins. I still have it. It's on my shelf here in my office. If I were to open that tin 25 years later, that meat's still good. Seems pretty sealed up.
I think so. I mean, aren't you? Isn't that what you're supposed to stock your emergency kit, pantry with, or canned goods?
I think so. I think it's meant for forever. Like, as long as it's sealed in that metal tin.
Yeah.
And you got to get the key to open it up.
And to be honest with you, I really don't know what spam is.
I don't either. I don't want to know. But
Bill Engvall put it perfectly. The comedian Bill Engvall, he said he figured out what spam is, and he just took the letters, and it says stuff posing as meat.
Ah, gotcha.
So that's what spam is. I don't think it is real meat, but I don't think it's vegetarian either.
I have had it for 20-something years, but, and I'm assuming that it still would feed my family in case the zombies come.
Exactly, but... you got to hurry. If you want to try this, you got to get to China quickly because they're only making 400,000.
Oh, very good. I just never thought Oreos and spam. That seemed like something.
No. I mean, would you put Oreos on your burger?
No.
I guess in a way, spam is kind of like a hot dog, right?
Yeah.
That'd be like having a hot dog and then putting crunchy Oreo mix on top of it.
I guess. That's all right.
Is that tasty? Right. I don't know. I don't think that'd be tasty.
I guess the reviews will come out soon, so we'll see. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb on a Tuesday. All right, coming up next, where did Dabo put his opponent for the playoff in his rankings? This is funny. That's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket Cam. All right, so Dabo Swinney has got Ohio State, the team that he's playing in the playoff. He ranked them 11th in the coaches poll. Now, good for Dabo, who likes to do this kind of thing, but I think Dabo is making a statement here. Because he said in the press conference, I think games matter, the mental and physical toll of the season. There's nobody out there that would say that somebody who's played 11 games versus somebody who's played 6 is better physically or something like that because it's a long season. We're going on week 21. These guys have no break. And it's been a grind, not just football-wise, but the mental challenge and the personal sacrifice and commitment that everybody had to make has been able to play and continue to play has been incredible. I don't think this is a shot at Ohio State per se. I think this is the shot, a little way of Dabo saying, I don't really like what the Big Ten did. I don't think he has any problems playing Ohio State. I don't think he would want to play Texas A&M. I think he's okay with the way this is. I think his point is the Big Ten started this whole thing with saying they weren't going to play and then came back and said they are going to play and then changed the rules to make sure the Ohio State Buckeyes were protected in every step of the way. Now, maybe rightfully so. I mean, in the end, if Ohio State beats Clemson and plays for the national championship, then we could say, well, yeah, of course they did the right thing, right? I mean, there's money on the line. They're not going to just sacrifice all of that. You're going to play college football in a COVID environment where money is extremely important. You find a way to get one of your teams into this playoff, even if it means changing the rules on the fly. But I think Dabo's saying, look, I don't think they're the 11th best team per se. I just think I need to put them behind teams that have played a full schedule, that have played a full season, who have gone through all of this like we did. We've been practicing, preparing for this upcoming season. Then we had an upcoming season, and we played as many games as we could get in. And oh, by the way, Notre Dame decided to join our conference for 1 year, so we had to play them.
Twice.
And Ohio State is playing around with, oh, yeah, we only could get six games in. Sorry, it's just the way it happens when you start the season late, when you realize what a mistake you made back in August.
Yeah, and play against teams that, you know, for Big Ten standards were easy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, did they play the creme de la creme of the Big Ten?
Yep.
Not really.
And they did not. And this is why the committee was taking the arrows, because they said, why don't you be bold and tell Ohio State? Like, Ohio State, you could have said to Ohio State, I'm sorry, Big Ten, but no, you're not getting into this party. Sorry. You can have Ohio State play in the Big Ten conference game, change the rules for that so they can play Northwestern. But in our little world, in our little building, in our little room where we discuss this, that's not good enough.
Well, see, I think you should have started with the Big Ten. You guys set down certain rules that had it been any other team, you guys would have probably said, you know what, rules are rules, sorry.
Yeah.
But because it was Ohio State, you're like, oh, wait, shoot, we didn't see that coming. We thought Ohio State would get all six games in.
That's right. Yep, exactly. So I like this from Dabo. It's a little bold and it's controversial. He's got to explain it. But you know what? He's making a point that a lot of us were thinking. This is not really against Ohio State. It's more against the Big Ten. More coming up on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.